The last album Firesign Theater did for Columbia Records, In the Next World You're on Your Own, 1975, had a hidden meaning for not only listeners but for me as well, because 2 years later, my comedy partner Peter Bergman and I would stare death in the face in one of the first major American mass shootings. The album was written by Dave Ossman and Phil Austin, but featured all four of our voices. It opens with "Police Street," a wacky send-up of cop shows in which we hear a burst of gunfire and a police radio call about unarmed tourist victims.
Correction, one unarmed tourist. The other two had arms.
Little did we know that something like this would actually happen to us in the early morning hours of September 4th, 1977. Soon after the release of that record, David took his job in Washington, D.C. with NPR, allowing Peter and me to resume our crazy career on the road. But during a break in the action, Barbro, my wife, and I went to visit her family in Oslo and were ready to enjoy a scenic drive up to Bergen on the coast. Along the way, we'd booked a sleepover at a hotel high up in the glaciers, and when we pulled up to park, we were startled to see scores of the same sparkling, all-silver cars parked in front. Inside, things got even weirder as we witnessed trays of brandy and snifters being delivered to swarms of Norwegian men dressed identically in white suits, white shoes, and black shirts with white ties. Curious, we asked one of the guys what the heck was going on, and he said, "Vi kjører best, vi kler best, vi drikker best, vi spiser best, vi den best." The Norwegian may not be entirely accurate, but the translation is, "We drive the best, we dress the best, we drink the best, we eat the best, we are the best." Turned out to be a big group of salesmen at a retreat for Findus Frozen Foods, a division of the Pillsbury Company in Scandinavia. And Don Pillsbury, a scion of the dynasty, was one of my Yale buds in Scroll and Key, no less. So, after hearing their story and toasting Skål many times, we retired to our room and made the best. Our daughter, Kristen. When we returned in mid-August, it was time for another Procter & Bergman tour, and Barbro was intent on joining us for our upcoming gig in San Francisco. We had plans to meet up for a bite after the show with our friend Bill Alexander, a psychiatrist who lives in Tiburon in Marin County. How ironic that there was a doctor with us when we all almost lost our lives. Back in L.A., Pete was still living up the street in the quaint little Swiss chalet on Wanda Park Drive and planned to pick us up for the drive to the airport. But right before he arrived, Barbro got a call from her doctor who informed her, in news that blew us away, she was preggers. We talked excitedly over coffee about this unexpected turn of events and how it might change our life together, but we were both too stunned to absorb all the implications. And then I realized I had to finish packing. We toured so often, it was always easy to throw things together at the last minute. "You know something, Philip," Barbro said. "I think I'd better stay home and absorb this." I didn't protest. I was still numb myself, and we hadn't previously discussed parenthood. I'd helped raise Amanda, my foster child, with my first wife, but I'd assumed I wasn't going to be a father again. It started raining hard outside. "That's another reason I should stay at home," Barbro said, indicating the weather. Our street in Benedict Canyon, Beverly Hills adjacent, was just paved with tar at the time, and the torrential rains had already caused local problems. Mudslides, drooping trees, sewers backing up, and a plague of frogs. The usual L.A. problems during the rainy seasons we had before climate change plunged us into a prolonged drought. So Peter and I traveled to Los Angeles International Airport without Barbro. I remember growing upset by the news of the unexpected pregnancy. Immature as I still was at the ripe old age of 37, that eventually yielded our beautiful, talented daughter Kristen, now happily married to Jeff Campbell, the eldest son of the former Premier of British Columbia.